Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
I don't know what to do with you guys here.
What do you mean?
Two in the studio at the same time.
You introduce our guest.
Yes, Mr. Rushforth has joined us. Apparently, he's the president of Paul Rushforth Real Estate.
I just want to thank Dora for allowing me to do her show this weekend.
Yes, very nice of her.
I must admit, so last night was our Paul Rushforth Real Estate team Christmas party. And
it was a lot of fun, eh, Steve?
Yeah, I had a great time.
So
I had to leave early, though.
Anyways, it was at Ale in Stittsville. I had dueling pianos. It was just such an amazing evening. Everyone was laughing. Dora said to me at the start of the night, she's like, I need to know by 11 o'clock if you want me to do the show for you. I said, all right, no problem. So I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. By about 11:30 rolls around, I'm feeling a little rough. I look at Dora. She's like, not a chance.
Well, you look all right. I mean, I had a nice dinner last night as well. Longtime friends of mine, Luigi Bastinelli and Pat Chiarello. Luigi, who was commercial lending at Scotiabank, who retired 5 years ago. It was nice. During COVID, we didn't get a chance to see each other, and he's fighting through a little health issue, but it was nice to see him. And then my good friend Pat, who runs Central Paving, but obviously they're not paving anymore, so now he's a parking guru, so he's going to teach people how to park cars. So
is he not the best parker in the world?
As long as you have 20 minutes.
So I will
go
say,
with Pat.
I will say I've had a little hiatus from the radio show. I've been away, and Dora's done it for me. I didn't have the chance to congratulate Frank on becoming a grandfather.
Amelia.
Congratulations, Frank.
Thank you so much.
Middle name?
No middle name.
No middle name.
No middle name. No.
Well, you guys are cheap.
No, who uses it?
That's the Italian way. My girlfriend from Slovakia, they don't have middle names either.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Yeah. They don't do middle names.
But that's usually the one
Europe.
That embarrasses you, you know, when people say, what's your middle name?
Some
grandfather from years ago.
Well, we did middle names with my kids, but only to honor our parents or our loved ones, right? Yeah. So that's why we did. But before that, like, I'm named after my grandfather. My brother's named after my other grandfather. So that's the way generally Europeans do it. They always keep the name going, so...
I don't know what my parents were thinking when they named me, but my middle name is Simon. Paul Simon.
Maybe your mom likes Simon Garfunkel.
I don't know.
Amelia, you're breaking my heart.
We sing that all the time. What a week, eh?
Oh, crazy week.
The news that's coming out on a daily and like the bond market is a yo-yo in itself. Just when you think it should go down because the news that comes out is negative, you look at it and it's gone up. It's like, what am I missing here? That's how unpredictable everything is. And we saw
the
job numbers.
Did rates come down at all this week?
No, banks haven't dropped rates, even though I can tell you that the bond market's down 0.75 percentage point over the last 5 weeks. And we've seen lenders and banks give back maybe 20, 25 points. So maybe a quarter point out of that 0.75. So what's the reason for that, apart from greed? Number one, I mean, we saw the banks talk about their earnings this week. Listen, they still did very, very, very well, just not as well as they would like to do. So when they don't do as well.
How many billions?
Yeah. Royal Bank, I think, was $14 billion for the year. Net profit laid off 2 or 3% of their workforce. TD just announced 3,000 layoffs, TD Bank. 3,000 layoffs. They put more money aside for loan provisions, bad loan provisions, because, again, they fear that all the savings that's been accumulated by Canadians over the pandemic, where they were at home working, and a lot of them still are, but all the savings that they've had, they've now dried up based on the fact that interest rates have gone up and the cost of living has gone up. So now their fear is that in 2024, we're going to start to see delinquencies rise. So they put more money aside for bad loan provisions, but that doesn't come on the backs of their profits. That comes on the backs of hardworking Canadians, because now, like I said, the bond market's come down 0.75 point. We've only seen a quarter point. So where's the other half point? That's how they're making up their profits.
I think we're going to see what we saw through COVID, where people were saving so much money and then spending so much money. I don't think they...
After. Once it opened up.
I don't think they foresaw that we were going to go through this crazy period.
So I think, but after COVID, it was a free-for-all. Oh, I got to get out and spend some money.
Right? Right? It's like, I haven't gone on a vacation. I'm going on a lavish vacation. Hey, I'm guilty. Frank's guilty. Everyone's guilty.
I'm guilty.
Oh, come on. You saved so much money during COVID. You spent money like it's
I saved because I didn't have to buy you breakfast. You're absolutely right there for two years.
By the way, where is my breakfast this morning?
Yeah, you didn't want anything.
It's been a month I've been on the show and I don't even get breakfast.
No, you didn't want anything, number one, right? Did he not, text this morning saying he wanted nothing but an Advil? You bring your own Advil. I got to buy you Advil.
Did I say Advil?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That was a long time ago, though. I was hurting back then.
We were at Starbucks going, what's the Advil coffee?
That was the Advil coffee. Yeah, we don't know what that is. Starbucks, by the way, I buy now, eh?
Starbucks?
Yes.
As I just mentioned, people were spending money like crazy. Who goes to Starbucks? It's too expensive.
I do for Steve.
I'm worth it.
Yeah, for Steve, I do.
Well, for Steve, I get Tim Hortons.
When Frank isn't spending all of his money on new socks.
Oh, love the socks, by the way.
Thank you.
Love
Thank the you. Socks.
Very cheerful.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But you're right. People were spending lavishly. I will say this, though. One of my managers in my office went on a vacation to Punta Cana this past week, and she got back on Wednesday, and she said, Frank, the resort was at 55% capacity, and they're really, really, really worried there that right now the ticket sales for holidays in the Caribbean are down tremendously this year. Because people don't have money.
They don't have money.
Yeah, I keep hearing that, but Spotify spending was up 22% on
Black
Friday.
Yeah, but that's, what, $9 a month? $10 a month? I mean, that's reasonable.
Shopify, I mean, sorry.
Oh, Shopify was up. Okay, Shopify was up. Okay.
22%.
Yeah, but that's more people doing online because they don't want to go out.
I was in Toronto for my son's hockey tournament last weekend. You want to talk about a mall? Vaughan Mills Mall?
Yeah, that's always busy, though.
I couldn't even walk in the mall. It was insane. Yeah. I go to Place d'Orleans, and you can throw a bowling ball down the aisle and not hit anyone. This mall was insane.
Yeah, but Vaughan Mills has always been one of the busier malls in Toronto by far.
It was busy, busy, busy. But you know, getting back to that, we went through a period where people were saving so much money, and once the world opened up, they just went on a free-for-all, and they spent so much money because they didn't foresee what was going to happen. I don't think Canadians will ever do that again. I think if the rates ever come down again – and people start saving a little bit more money, I think people are going to save now rather than spend. Because I think there's a lot of people that are living paycheck to paycheck. I know a lot of people that are selling their properties because they can't afford them anymore. And I just think that we're going to be in a total different norm going forward.
But if they sell their properties, and listen, somebody that bought a property a year or two ago, yeah, they paid peak for it, right? But somebody who bought a property, you know, 6 years ago, I mean, they probably got their house for half of what it's worth right now.
Probably half,
So if they can't afford it, then they're going to go into a rent. Their mortgage shouldn't be that much. Like anybody that we have coming up for maturity now, most mortgages are averaging in the twos, maybe threes, but most of them are in the 200,000, maybe 300,000, and they're 3.5% or 3%. So now you're at 5.5%. So there's an increase there, but they've got a house that's worth 600,000, 700,000, 800,000, 900,000. So they've built some equity up. And at least from my experience, people that are worried about it were able to find a solution for them from a standpoint of increasing the amortization back up to 30. And I say to them, it's not forever 30 years. It's because we're in that high interest rate cycle right now. Once we get out of that high interest rate cycle, you can bring the amortization back down on your own. So you're not forced to sell your house, because if you go rent, what are you getting a townhouse for? Maybe 2,600?
Maybe.
2,600?
2,600, yeah.
Right.
Oh, you can get a small one for cheaper. But yeah, $2,600 for rent. That's what I'm renting mine at for.
But if your mortgage is $300, your mortgage payment won't be more than that. So you might as well stay in your home versus selling it. So,
and I think these rates are going to come down sooner than we originally thought, too.
My guess is that Bank of Canada is this coming Wednesday, and obviously it's pause. We're on the pause train right now. So we're on the pause train probably until, my guess, if I had to say, I would say April.
Yeah.
I think the April meeting is the first time we're going to see the Bank of Canada seriously consider a rate cut. If it doesn't happen in April, then it'll happen the next one. But I think until then, like some economists are saying, it might happen sooner. And listen, it might. If the job numbers come out as negatively, you know, we saw the unemployment go up, yet we're in a peak hiring season right now with retail and Christmas, and the job numbers came down. Imagine what's going to happen once all these bank layoffs start to happen and show in the numbers, not to mention retail in January and February. The unemployment should, right now we're at the pre-pandemic levels.
Yeah, we're
5.8,
right?
Yeah, so it shows that we're back to pre-pandemic levels. What's going to happen in January, February, when there should be thousands and thousands of job losses?
But here's the deal, Ottawa, 4.6%.
Mm-hmm. again, like we're more, a government town.
More than a point below.
We're stable. We're a stable
unemployment
town.
Really hasn't affected the real estate market here.
Interest rates have.
Yeah, interest. It's hard to determine, beside interest rates, what's affected the real estate market. I mean, obviously, interest rates have pretty
and,
much
and costs. And cost of homes and cost of everything else.
But cost of homes. So, and I've said this week after week after week, that if you can stomach the rates, it's a great time to get into this real estate market. It's there's prices out there. Like, you can now get a townhome. I saw a new builder. I'm not going to say which builder it was, but I saw a new builder advertising brand new townhomes, 3 to 4 bedroom townhomes. I believe it was in Barrhaven for $575 plus $7,500 worth of appliances plus $15,000 at the design center. That same builder was advertising the exact same townhome a year ago for $725 to $750.
Wow.
And now they're at $575. So prices have come down. I know there's some areas, like, you know, when I say that, I'll get someone who will call me after the show and they'll be like, prices aren't down in my area. And that's what's funny about Ottawa is there are some areas that prices have definitely not come down. And then there's others that you can get a steal. So the prices, if you can stomach those interest rates, I would get into the market ASAP, because once those rates come down, I think we're just going to surge. We really will.
We've seen listings go up though, right?
Like, yeah,
listings have come up tremendously.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. I mean, obviously today's the 2nd. We don't have any numbers for November yet, but I'm interested to see what the numbers are going to look like next week on the radio show when they do come out. I think we're going to see that, you know, listings have surged. And this is the time of year, though, where we're going to probably see listings drop, because people are going to take their house off the market in December.
Can they afford to, though, now?
Well, here's the thing. No one wants to show their house during Christmas. They got all the decorations up. It makes your house look smaller. But if someone is looking at your house over Christmas, they're serious. They're a serious buyer. No one is shopping over Christmas unless you're a serious buyer. So I personally would not take my house off the market. I would limit my showings over the Christmas period, but I definitely wouldn't take my house off the market. But there's a lot of people that are, and they're going to put it back. And a lot of people say, I'm going to put it back in the spring. I'm going to put it back in April, which is our spring market. No, our spring market starts January 15th. So get that thing back on the market ASAP if you are going to take it off the market.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We will be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul Rushworth here. Frank Napolitano here.
Pretty soon we're going to be running the show by ourselves, Frankie.
This is going to be exciting, folks. Oh, you don't want to miss the last half hour of this show. So, no referee.
So, Steve, we've done this show now for 18 years, and you've missed how many shows?
Two.
Two shows in 18 years.
Two and a quarter.
I mean, Frank misses that in a month.
He missed two and a quarter.
Well, yeah.
There was one show he showed up at 10:15. We were on at 10. Yeah. So you
but
and
I was
I
on the phone.
You were on the phone?
I don't think you knew where you were.
Actually, that was a different show.
That was after Paul's Christmas party. There. Yeah.
But so the last half of the show, it'll be the Frank and Paul show. No, yep. Steve Gregory. So it's probably going to be the best half hour ever.
Now, guys, do me a favor. Don't cost the radio station their license.
That's Frank, not me.
Try to behave.
Yeah.
All right, so figure out the economy, because I can't. The economy has shrunk this month. This past month.
You're going by the numbers that...
StatsCan.
Okay.
The month before, the economy was reported to have shrunk,
mm-hmm.
which would put us technically into a recession.
Yep.
Although when these numbers came out that the economy shrunk last month, they revised the numbers for the month before.
So they didn't shrink.
So now we're not in a recession.
Well, you ask...
And these people know what they're doing, right?
Yeah. You ask people, though. Again, to me, my judge is the way that I judge this is I look at what families are going through. I look at what people are going through, not only in Ottawa, but across the country. And immigrants are leaving. So here's Trudeau, who opened up the door to immigrants. They're coming here and they're saying, this isn't the quality of life. I can't afford to stay in Canada. It's too expensive. I don't even get good health care. And they've left.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about our population going up, but it'd be interesting to see how much it's gone up, because I think those numbers are going to be revised as well, because I think there's a number of immigrants, thousands of immigrants that have come back home.
Really?
They're not staying here. Oh, well, yeah.
Well, and here's the problem with the immigrants coming here, and it's not the fact, one, we don't have the housing to house them. Two, our healthcare is a mess.
Yeah.
I know someone this week that went to the emergency room, 17 hours.
Yeah.
That's insane.
17 hours. Yeah. And they told me that there was I mean, the biggest problem right now is the paramedics, right? Because they are taking people into hospital and sitting with them in the hallway for sometimes five, six, seven, eight. They have to wait till they're seen. So now we have all these paramedics off the road because they're sitting in these hospitals. So, I mean, it's great to say that we're bringing in all these immigrants. That's amazing. I love seeing immigrants get a chance. But unless we improve our health care, we shouldn't be bringing anyone into this country until we can prove our health care.
Well, I experienced it firsthand when my dad got brought into the hospital all the time. The paramedics would sit with him for 4 or 5 hours and play games because they had to wait until he got admitted before they can leave. So,
and that's paramedics off
crazy.
The street.
Yeah.
Right? We need
but the other thing about immigrants is that so they come here with the knowledge and with the training, but our government isn't accepting the training that they have in their country. So therefore, they're coming here and they can't practice in the field that they've been doing for years and years because it's not acceptable here. So that's why they're leaving. It's, you know, here they are. They're professionals at one trade, and all of a sudden they can't practice that trade in Canada. So they're having to work retail jobs or stuff that they're not comfortable doing, which you cannot make a living working in retail in cities like Toronto. No. You might be able to get away with it in smaller cities where the housing is cheaper, but in Toronto you can't live – if you're working retail.
And there's going to be fewer of those jobs, too.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, though, some of these immigrants are coming from some war-torn countries that this is a dream for them.
100%. Right? So, and still living is tough, though.
Living is really tough. When I was doing my TV show, I was lucky enough to meet some really, really amazing people. And some of them were immigrants who were coming over as doctors, as lawyers, as, like, really engineers. And they're driving cabs here. They're cleaning shops. They're doing things like that. So, right. I mean, it's great that we're bringing these immigrants over, but I mean, we're not. I mean, a lot of these degrees don't translate over here, and they're doing dead end jobs.
Well, the whole math never made sense. I mean, you don't bring people over if you don't have housing and you have poor healthcare system.
Yeah.
All it does is multiplies the problem. Yeah. So.
And it is. And it is.
And
We're seeing it. I mean, we have no housing and we have terrible healthcare.
Hey, just before I leave, I want to touch quickly on the new real estate rules of. Multiple offers, and sellers now have the opportunity to open them up. Everybody knows what each other is. They only have the opportunity. They don't have to, right?
So here's the thing. It's called TRESA, and it's come into real estate now, and it's a major change. Like, since I've been in real estate now almost 20 years, I've never seen something like this. I'm not as enthralled in it, mainly because I don't do deals anymore. My team does it. But my office manager, Angie, has been working her tail off with one of my super agents, Jake Prescott, and they've been working on this TRESA. And I know other companies. I know my mom, who works with REMAX. I mean, they've had meeting after meeting after meeting just to familiarize yourself with all these new forms and all these new rules. And there's some major changes to the real estate industry out there. One of the biggest ones you're talking about, Steve, is open offers. So they've allowed it now for the sellers to be in charge of open offers. So the sellers can determine whether they want to divulge what the buyer's offers are. I personally, this is brand new. So, I mean, we have to see how this translates. I mean, it came out yesterday. Yesterday was day one.
Yeah.
I don't know why a seller would have an open offer. And I mean, if someone knows why, I mean, maybe there is a scenario where a seller would want to keep those offers open, but you can now, as a seller, say, I want to have those open offers so I can go to you, Steve, who brought me an offer, and Frank, who brought me an offer, and Mary Claude and John, who brought me an offer, and I can tell them what the offers are. So it's like open bidding, and it's the seller's right and the seller's right at any time. So I could have four offers, then the sellers determine that they want open offers and divulge what the offers
now,
are.
Now, once they determine that, are all offers open if there's round two, round three?
Once again, brand new. I don't know. And I assume so, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. I think it's going to have to play out to see.
It seems to be at the discretion of the seller.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's so many rules right now that there's a lot of people in the industry that they're not 100% sure. And I know we're learning as we go, and there's going to be mistakes made, and there's going to be, you know, learning curves and that. Is it going to be better for the industry? I hope so. I mean, it's going back to the days where, you know, if you wanted to see a home back when I first started, you signed a buyer agency agreement with me for me to show you homes.
Right.
You know, it determines agency, how I represent you. Well, then it got to the days where the millennials are like, well, I'm not driving into the office to sign anything. I just want to see this house. And so realtors, we called them Pop-Tart realtors. We were just popping up and showing homes to people who may not qualify. We didn't, you know, it was just real estate got very loose back in those days. And I think what they're trying to do is bring it back to the days when I first started, where it's a little bit more professional. there's more guidelines, more rules that we have to actually divulge to the buyers and the sellers. And it's not going to be a bad thing. It's just right now for a real estate agent, it's like, what? It's very
overwhelming.
It's very, very overwhelming. I know we've had meeting after meeting on it, and we want to make sure we're doing everything the right way. There's definitely going to be a learning curve. There's definitely going to be some mistakes. There's definitely going to be some issues that are going to arise. But I do think it's going to be good for real estate. I just think right now that everyone's super overwhelmed.
But I also think it's going to weed out the weekend real estate agents, the ones that most have full-time jobs during the day and can only work on the weekends. And I think it's going to weed them out.
100% agree, Frank. And I've said to my agents before, when this market gets really tough, I say to them, it's not a bad thing. Like, we are the cream of the crop. We're right at the top. So it's not going to affect us. But it will affect the part-timers. It will affect the people who do it willy-nilly. And, you know, they have
that's good. You get more professionalism in the industry.
More professionalism in the industry. It's already a very professional industry. I'm not saying it's not, but I think with the tough market, with the interest rates, with these new changes, it's going to make it more professional, and it will weed out the agents who aren't ready to conform and make those changes.
Now, for buyers, here's an opportunity for you, because hot off the heels of Paul's Christmas party, now is the time to make an offer on one of their listings. 521-TALK, 521-8255, you guys behave.
Have a good time,
yes,
Stevie.
Yes.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Hey, you and me.
This is the Frank and Paul Show now.
No, Steve.
So you know what? This is probably going to be the most listened to 30 minutes ever in this show, because there's no...
Steve's listening, you know. He's driving. I think his car has... his car is like in the 80s or 90s. I think he's got a radio. Steve's... He's only got AM, I think.
Steve's car doesn't have a radio. he has cassettes in there. He has cassettes. An 8-track. Yeah.
What a week, though, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I know in the break we were talking about, you know, the changes to the real estate industry that have come, and also the mortgage industry might be making some changes coming up, hopefully for the good and for the better.
Yeah, we're not sure. I mean, OSFI's got two announcements coming up, one this coming week and one the week after. The one the week after is the big one, because that's the one where they outline if there's any rule changes based on stress test qualification. You know, we saw the government make an announcement 2 weeks ago, you know, focusing on housing, but a lot of the stuff that they came out with has already been in place. So there was nothing new.
Yeah.
And banks, by the way, all of them that I've spoken to, I mean, you know, she came out and said, hey, like, we're, you know, Canadians can get a break on penalties and early breaks and stuff. And the bank said, unless the government's refunding us. If somebody signs a contract for 5 years and they break it at the 2-year mark, we're charging the penalty. I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. So if somebody wants to give us back the money, that's fine. But they don't get to get out of the mortgage without a penalty.
Yeah.
So.
And I think a lot of changes. I mean, one of the things we talked about also in the break with the real estate industry, and hopefully it's going to happen with the mortgage industry, these changes obviously morphed out of something. And they morphed out of issues. And we saw during COVID, there was lots of issues. I mean, houses were selling for $100,000, $200,000 over asking. And you know, obviously there was some weird stuff going on. Maybe they thought that, you know, agents had too much control. So they made these changes. And even though right now it's very overwhelming and there's a lot of agents who are probably scared, nervous. They don't want to change. Agents hate change.
I think it's going to be
for the better. Like, they don't make these changes just willy-nilly. They've put a lot of effort, money, and energy into this. And I do think these changes will be better for the real estate industry. I think they're going to be better for the consumer. I think, you know, right now I'm sitting here saying that, thinking, oh my God, these changes suck.
Because
it's change. And it's more paperwork. It's more responsibility. But I do believe in the long run, we'll be sitting here a year from now saying, remember those changes they brought in December 1st? I'm so glad they brought those in. And I think it's going to be great for the industry. But even better, it's going to be better for the consumer and protection for the consumer. So I think these new changes will be great. And listen, I'd like to talk about all the changes that have come in. The problem is I don't know all of them. I mean, I'm lucky I have the most amazing office manager, Angie White, who deals with all this for me. But these are changes that are going to impact people, consumers, the real estate industry. But I think it's going to be for the better. And then we talked about the mortgage industry with some of the changes that potentially could be coming. And I think the hope that you guys in the mortgage industry are hoping for are things like stress test and things like that, that they change.
Yeah, we want things for consumers. So, you know, if we go back 6 years ago when the stress test got introduced, we were a little bit of against it. A lot of people were against it, including consumers, including mortgage brokers, including banks were against it, because it took away the power for a bank to be able to make a decision on mortgage financing based on the strength of the client and the risk assessment. And it made it black and white, where they need to have this income. And if they don't have this income and they don't get the GDS and TDS numbers in line, you can't lend to them. So it took away the ability. And the banks got a little upset about it, even though it made their portfolio even safer and better. But at the end of the day, they were having to say no to some people that deserved to get approved for that mortgage. They were having to say no because they didn't fall within the guidelines. So, you know, somebody that's got a $3 million net worth, self-employed, but only pays themselves $50,000 a year because, well, they don't have to pay themselves anymore. Well, all of a sudden, they don't qualify for a mortgage, which sounds ludicrous, but that's what's been happening. So what it's done, it's driven these consumers to alternate lending. So now they're paying higher interest rates, more fees to get financing when they deserve to be in traditional lending. OSFI will pat themselves on the back, and rightfully so. By introducing the stress test, what they did is they did protect Canadians, and because as interest rates rose the way they have over the last 18 months, 24 months, Canadians at least qualified at the higher rates, and they were able to remain in their homes. So that worked out well. But there comes a point where your rules need to be amended, and I think we're at that point now, because if we've hit the peak on interest rates, well, then there's no reason to penalize consumers even more by saying you have to qualify 2% above your contract rate, because the contract rate is probably as high as rates are going to go. So we're hoping, but most of us in the industry feel like they should be adjusting it, but they probably won't, just because they feel they're better off to take the safe route instead of opening it up.
Yeah. Do you think the stress test, I mean, obviously they brought the stress test in for the thought that rates could go up, and so they wanted that protection. But the rates did go up.
Yes.
Do you think it was smart to have the stress test in at that point in time, or no?
Well, when the rates were lower, it was smart because consumers had to qualify at the fourth. I mean, our stress test rates have been anywhere from 4.55 to 5.25. So consumers had to qualify at that even during pandemic when you were able to get a variable at 1.2%. You still had to qualify at the 4.75. So it ended up being well. And then there's a lot, you know, they're looking at changing the static payments on variable rate mortgages. But the truth is, as painful as it is for those individuals that are in a static payment mortgage, their payment remains static even though the interest rate skyrocketed. Their amortization went from 25 to 50, 70. 60, 70. Yeah. But it kept them in the homes too, because if the payments would have gone up, they probably wouldn't have been able to afford those homes, and therefore we may have had a housing crisis. So, you know, in hindsight, that helped them. So now what they've come back with is talk to your bank. Like, your bank is to call you 4 or 6 months ahead of time, and they've got the green light to extend the amortizations if you can't afford. Because the last thing that – banks are very clear, and we had actually Sagen, who's one of the default insurers, come in, and they said Canadians – and they're absolutely right. Canadians are so, so hung on being homeowners. They just are. They want to be homeowners. They don't want to give up their homes unless they absolutely have to. It's not like the U.S. where if things go south, they just give up their homes. Not in Canada. Canadians are proud to be homeowners. So therefore, you know, that's why they see that delinquencies haven't gone up that much. Delinquencies are still lower than the pre-pandemic levels, which is incredible considering pre-pandemic we were at 3.5% and now we're in the fives and sixes for mortgage rates. And yet, you know, we're still maintaining delinquencies at or below the level. Now, they do think that they're going to go up next year. What they've seen the biggest increase in is, what do you think? What do you think the biggest increase is?
Well, credit card debt.
Well, no. Apart from that, like, so what do you think the percentage is of parents who are helping kids either with mortgage payments or getting into mortgages?
I'm going to say it's probably north of 50%.
No, it's still 28%. 28% of buyers need their parents' help either on the down payment or co-signing or guarantor, but somewhere to get into a house right now.
Well, and you mentioned Canadians are so house proud. Like, they want home ownership is the dream, right? And the problem with the way the rates are right now, we're seeing so many young people who are being forced into the rental market, and with the way the rents are going, I'm not sure how they're going to get out of the rental market. I mean, you're paying $2,600 a month.
It's preparing them.
Yes, but you're paying $2,600 a month for a townhome plus utilities, plus groceries, mm-hmm. plus. Let's say you're $4,000 to $5,000 a month. Maybe not that high, but let's say $4,000 a month in just in payments with rent and all and everything else. How do you save money after that? Like, you have to be making 100 plus, 100K plus in order to save some money to get into the home ownership.
You're right. That's the hard part, is the fact that if you're paying that much in rent, you're not able to put money aside. But I think that what the government will tell you is that, well, then we're preparing you what the costs are going to be if you're a homeowner.
True.
So if you can't manage it being a renter, then you're not going to be able to manage it as a homeowner. So they've got some, you know, I think they're right in some forms.
Yeah,
but it's just very restrictive, and it's very difficult because, you know, first-time home buyers in major cities like Toronto and Vancouver have just said they're never going to be homeowners, which is disappointing because you want to be a homeowner, and if their career is there and if they're obligated to go into their offices to work, then they can't go anywhere else.
When you look at the job force and you look at income, dual income, Ottawa has the highest in the country, ahead of Toronto, mm-hmm. ahead of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So. You know, we're an affordable city. We went to a point where we weren't affordable. I still think we're an affordable city. But if you're, I think the amount was about $106,000 to $110,000 is what people are bringing in Ottawa. Compared to Toronto, it's under $100,000. If you're bringing in less than $100,000 a year and your average sale price is 1.2, I don't know. That math doesn't look good to me.
No, it doesn't. What's happening in Toronto, I think, are people have moved to the outskirts. So all of a sudden, you've got cities that are 30, 40, 50 minutes away.
Yeah.
That's where people are moving. And therefore, now they're spending, you know, gas has gone down. And thankfully, oil prices have come down. But it's still expensive when you're spending 2 hours, 2.5 hours of your day driving back and forth to work.
So. Well, I think it was, you know, our former colleague who we're about to fire after the show, Steve. because we just realized we don't need him anymore. Like, this is where we're doing
it's
fine.
Pretty good. Yeah.
So, Steve, if he's listening, we're going to have to let him go after the show. So our former colleague, Steve Gregory, who used to be on this show, he was telling me a story that when he was working on radio. Yeah. He was living in sort of like the east part of Toronto. So he's living in like Ajax or Pickering or something. And he had to go to Mississauga or something like that for his radio show every day, going right through Toronto. That's what people have
to
do.
4 hours.
That's what people have to do in Toronto, right? They have to live in the outskirts and drive into the core. And I've driven in Toronto. You've driven in Toronto. That's not fun.
Not a chance.
That's not fun.
I do it for a day or two. And, you know, Steve had those long 4 hour days that he had to work at the station. So it was really an 8 hour day because it was 2 hours to the station. Then he worked for 4 hours and then 2 hours home. So,
well, so if it's an 8 hour day, that's 7 or 8 hours more than he's working now, is it? I love how we throw some shots at him.
Yes,
he's not here.
Yes, we do.
But he's probably listening to his cassette tape right now as he's driving his 1964 Cutlass to the train station. Sorry, Steve. Don't mean to pick on you, but you're not
but
here.
It's fun. Yeah. He can't defend himself.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Just like that. Wow. We're heading into our
final segment.
It's the final segment, just like that. So
perfect.
We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Paul and Frank Show.
Paul and Frank Show. I think we have a question, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Mark just sent in just a question when it comes to renewal. And thanks for listening, Mark. When it comes to mortgage renewal, if you're renewing your mortgage exactly how it is, at this time, at least anyway, we'll see what the rule changes are. But I don't imagine they're going to change this one, which is you don't have to requalify. But, and there's a big but there, if your bank or lender knows that you might struggle to qualify elsewhere, then they're not motivated to give you their very best rate. Yeah. So you want to keep, and I've had clients call me and say, Frank, my bank's not offering me a great rate. I told them that I went through a consumer proposal 2 years ago. Well, guess what? They're not going to offer you the best rate because they know that you're not going anywhere else because nobody else is going to approve you for it. So be tight-lipped when it comes to that stuff. I think you want to go in there, if you go in there with the position of strength, so you want to have the position of strength, not the bank, by going in there and saying, hey, I'm shopping around for my mortgage. What's the best rate you can offer me? If it's just a straight renewal, again, you do not have to requalify. They should be able to lock in a rate for you. Again, if rates are trending upwards, you want to try and get a rate guarantee in place for 4 months. If rates are trending downwards, don't be in a hurry to renew, because if they're trending downwards, you're going to get the lower rate as you get closer to your renewal. So don't get caught by a bank saying if you renew now, especially today, because most people that are coming, their mortgages are coming up for renewal, the rates are lower than the going rate today. So why do you want to renew early? Now's the perfect time for you to wait it out until close to the end and be able to accept the rate at that point, because the likelihood is that you're going to get a better rate and you're going to get keep the existing rate, which is lower than today's rate, right to the end of your term instead of having to give it up early.
Two questions for you. Do you need to requalify if you change institutions is number one? And number two is, are you still touting, because rates are coming down, are you still touting a variable?
So when it comes to qualifying, if you go elsewhere, you do have to go through the qualifying process. If it's a straight renewal, what's really good is, you know, if you're with a bank right now, banks don't offer what's called an insurable mortgage rate. So what an insurable mortgage rate is that if your loan to value is less than 65% on your house, so your mortgage amount is 65% or less of your house value, or when you originally got the mortgage, you paid the default insurance, so you bought the house with less than 20% down, then it's an insurable mortgage. So what happens is the banks have certain rates, but their rates are nowhere near competitive to what other lenders have when it comes to an insurable mortgage. So I encourage you to shop around and don't be loyal to your bank. I think it has to be the other way around. The bank's got to be loyal to you. When it comes to variable, I think it's a great question. We're starting to see an uptick. We went through periods where certainly as rates were going up, variable was nowhere to be seen. Now we're starting to see the variable, the uptick. Now, what consumers need to understand is that the variable rate mortgage that you're going to get is likely higher than you're going to get on a five-year fix today. But it sounds like interest rates are going to come down quite a bit in 2024 and definitely in 2025. So what a variable allows you to do is be able to time it so that you can convert from a variable for no charge, from a variable to a fixed rate at any time. So you can time it. You're paying a little bit of a premium up front, but it gives you the flexibility to be able to lock it in at lower rates down the road. If you lock in for a five-year mortgage, specifically with a big bank, the penalty to get out of it, if a year or two the interest rates have come down by 1 or 2 or 3 percentage points, the penalty is going to be so extreme that you're not going to be able to get out of it.
There's obviously some people who are just comfortable with that five-year fixed mortgage and all that.
Don't take a five-year fixed. I would say to them then, if you're going to pay, if you need to lock in because you're worried about where rates are going, take a 1 or 2 or 3 year. Don't take a 5 year.
Yeah, and I think there's some people that are just so obsessed with five-year fixed.
That's what the banks want.
That's what the banks want. They make more money doing that, but we know a year from now, if you lock into a five-year fixed right now at whatever, 5.25 or whatever it is,
five and a half, 6.25,
that's going to be much lower on a variable in a year from now. So
most economists right now are really, like, some of them are so aggressive that they think that Bank of Canada may have to start lowering interest rate, the prime rate, as early as March. I think it's April or May, but there's some that really, but almost to a T, every single economist thinks that the second half of 2024 and the first half of 2025 is going to see significant interest rate drops.
So. Well, Benjamin Tall, he's CIBC,
amazing,
right?
Yeah, CIBC.
Economist for CIBC. Yeah. He actually recommended, I know you brought it up on the show about a month ago. He's saying that he's expecting at least 1 to potentially 2% lower by next year. Yes.
Next year. Yeah. The second half. Majority of the second half. He thinks they're going to start in the spring, gradual, and then significant ones. Very similar to what we saw as they were coming up, where we're seeing 0.5% and 0.75% increases, you know, month after month. What he thinks is going to happen is the exact opposite. It's going to happen in the fall of this year.
And that's why I'm telling people, get in the market now. Because once those interest rates come down with immigration, with people flooding to Canada, especially coming to Ottawa for affordability reasons, the floodgates are going to open, I believe. And it when is it going to be? I don't know. I would have expected our rates already to be lower and it already happening. But I think by this time next year, my personal prediction is that rates will probably be at least a 1% lower, hopefully, and our market is just flying.
Yep.
And that. So if you can get in right now to a townhome for $575,000, I do predict that could be back up into the high sixes by this time next year.
Yep.
Potentially.
Agreed.
Potentially.
Agreed. And we've seen house prices more or less increase almost every month. you know, year over year, we're going to see, I mean, 2023 might be the first year in a long time where we're going to see the house prices decrease.
We will.
Because of January.
Yeah.
Like, it's solely on January because the rest of the months have been your typical Ottawa that we're used to. You know, little increases of 2 or 3%. But take away January, and actually Ottawa's been a pretty decent market.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the prices are at the end of this. Well, the month's over, but we haven't got the numbers yet. But yeah, in January, we started the year at $691,000 as an average sale price, and we went down to, by the end of the month, to $612,000. Wow. So January was crippling. January crippled our year, and we will see a decrease in our average sale price this year for the first time since 1994 or 5, I think it is. Maybe it's 96. So it's been a long, long time since we've seen a drop in the average sale price here in Ottawa. We will see it this year, even though some economists are saying we're going to be up 4, 5, 10%, we're going to be down probably 5, 6, 7%. So,
and then February numbers will start to look more normal again because then we will have gone through a full year. We got through that big drop that happened in January, and all of a sudden we're going to start to feel more normal, because this whole year, except for January, has felt normal when it comes to house prices.
Yeah. Normal market,
right? The little increases here and there, and maybe there's a month where they come down a little bit, which is awesome. So.
Yeah. Birthdays?
So, yeah, birthdays. I've got my little nephew who turned had his birthday on Thursday. So I want to say 12 years old. I'm pretty sure he's in grade 7. So I'm thinking he's 12 years old. So
yep, 12.
Happy birthday to Carmelo. So yeah, that's it. What about you?
I have one. It's next Sunday, so I probably could have done it on the show. But my parents, and this is very not common in today's world, my parents celebrate their wedding anniversary next Sunday.
How many years?
I don't know the years, but it's
Colleen.
It's way up there. And listen,
it's not way up there. Colleen is a young grandma.
I know, but they've been together for so long. Yeah. And listen, if I can emulate anything that my parents have done and the love that they show to each other, I'm doing something right.
There's lots of them out there, but you're right.
Yep.
Not as much anymore. Yep. So, all right. Have a great weekend, everyone. And please continue to support local businesses and charities.